Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Hello, VBF! My name is Pastor Jim. I'm one of the teaching pastors here. And it is so good to be in Bakersfield on a Wednesday night. Want to say hello to our online family. We love you guys. Hey, where are my Teen Challenge peeps at? Would you stand up? Yes! I saw the vans, and I knew you guys would bring some energy. So, that's right. That's right, all the way, man. Yeah, I'm so proud of you guys. And I just want to speak to anybody that is getting a little bit weary. Hang in there. Don't stop. Don't quit. Get to the finish line, my brothers. Get to the finish line. So I am excited to be back. For those of you that don't know who I am Pastor Ron's son-in-law. We lead a church in Thousand Oaks, just right down the road. And so I like to be with you guys the last Wednesday night of the month, and we are filled with so many amazing gifted pastors, aren't we? Just like all the guys that are up on the stage, from Pastor Ron and Josh, and we've got Hector. Give it up for Pastor Hector. I just saw John Tweed back there. I mean, I have been with these guys for decades now, and it's so good to come home and be with everybody and be with family, all right? So go ahead and knuckle bump a neighbor and say, we're going on a road trip. Just tell them that. Just knuckle bump them. We're going on a road trip. Hey, let's do this. Let's have some fun, all right? Who says church can't be fun? All right, tell your neighbor, this is what I want you to tell him. What is the go-to snack that you always run into 7-Eleven or your favorite Mini Mart or Soli's, wherever you go, that you have to have in the car when you go on a road trip? Go ahead and tell them right now. Tell them. If you're online, just leave a comment right now. What is your go-to snack when you're on your road trip? How many of you guys have to have some sunflower seeds? Where are my sunflower seed people? All right, that's me. That's Pastor Jim. I've got to have some sunflower seeds on my road trip. And the reason I asked that question is actually has everything to do with our Bible study tonight. And we've been in a series at our Thousand Oaks Church, and we've been looking at this journey of Moses and the Israelites. Probably the most famous character of the Old Testament, right? Moses. Known for just so many miracles from God, the parting of the Red Sea, right? You know, hitting a rock and water coming out, and leading this group of people from slavery, from captivity, into a promised destiny. And as I've been looking, as I've been studying Moses, what I've seen and what I hope you discover tonight is that Moses' story with the Israelites isn't just an Exodus for the Israelites. The Exodus story is actually our story. The word Exodus, by the way, means departure. It means that you've actually left somewhere where you've been at, and you're moving now into a new destination. And that's why it's a road trip. And just like the children of Israel left Egypt, which was their place of captivity, they crossed the Red Sea into a new identity, and then they made it all the way into this land of Canaan called their promised land, or the promised destiny that God had for their life. And if you think about your own journey with Jesus, your journey with Jesus starts with you being in captivity. It starts with you knowing that this sin that has been in your life is actually running your life. And so what God does is he rescues you out of your captivity, and he gives you a new identity. You're no longer a slave. You're a child of God. Come on, somebody. That's who you are. You may not be where you want to be, but thank God we're not who we used to be. Come on, somebody, right? We're still on that journey, but we're in this place where we have a new identity, and then God is leading us into this promised land, this place where the purposes and the promises of God can start coming forth in your life. And we're all somewhere on that journey. We're road tripping for Jesus. We're moving from where we were into a place that he's called us to go. And so as we talk about this Exodus, and maybe you're trying to evaluate right now in this moment, like, where am I at on the map here? I want to speak to you about the most important part of your road trip. And that is the place where you meet with God. The place where you meet with God. And it was a central idea of the original Exodus story. Like one of the pivotal moments of the people of God in the book of Exodus was the time that God decided that he was going to reveal himself to his people. Because before that, it was just a relationship that Moses had with God. And some of you that are familiar with the Bible, one of the most famous stories of the Bible was that God decided he was going to show himself to Moses in a burning bush. And so we're going to talk tonight about this idea of meeting up with God. I'm simply entitling this message, Let's Meet Up. Go ahead and tell three people, say, let's meet up. Go ahead and tell three people around you, say, let's meet up. Let's meet up. You might say, where are we going? All right, we're talking about meeting up with God, all right? So let me pray this, and we're going to jump into the book of Exodus. Father, we thank you so much, God. I so love this church. I so love the people of VBF. And I pray that tonight, God, you would show up in a powerful way with your presence so that, God, everybody that came tonight, everybody even watching online tonight, would know that they had a meeting with the Almighty God. Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us. When we leave this place, may we know that. And we thank you in advance for how you're going to do that. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, let's go. All right, Exodus chapter 25. Let me just put that scripture on the screen for you guys. Exodus 25. It says, have the people of Israel. So God is downloading instructions to Moses about how he's going to meet up with the people. Have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them. This is the idea. I'm going to live among them. And next verse there. And you must build this tabernacle and its furnishings exactly according to the pattern I will show you. So it was very particular. It was very specific. And some people that read the Bible are like, why was it so important? Like, if you read the book of Exodus, you might get lost towards the end of the book of Exodus because you're like, you know, I'm not an architecture major here. Like, why do I need to know all the measurements and all the details? So we're basically, a lot of the book of Exodus is we're looking at the blueprints of this tabernacle, this tent of meeting. This dwelling place, the word tabernacle in the Hebrew means dwelling place. So it's very specific, very detailed. And the question is, why? And the answer is really simple. God is holy and we're unholy. So in order for a holy God to meet with unholy people, it's got to have the right elements in order for this holy God to cross over and come into the presence of unholy people. And if you ever watch any kind of sci-fi documentaries or you ever geeked out on astrology or astronomy, rather, then you'll know about portals, right? They talk about portals in a lot of sci-fi type of movies or documentaries. And so what this tabernacle becomes is a portal opening heaven to come to earth so that God could leave heaven and dwell on earth with his people. So this is the open heaven that begins at the tent of meeting, at this place of the tabernacle. Let's fast forward now. Let's go to chapter 33. It says this. It says, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away. So God started this journey with Moses, revealing himself to Moses first. Then he's like, he's coming a little bit closer. So now the tent is outside the camp, but it's closer to where it used to be, some distance away, calling the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped at the entrance to their tent. Love this. The Lord would speak to Moses. Now, this is probably one of the most powerful verses of the Old Testament right here. And this has everything to do with what we're talking about tonight. So don't miss this. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Almighty God, creator of all things, holy of holies, now coming into the presence of an unholy person. Matter of fact, Moses was a murderer. I don't know if you knew that fact about him. Fun fact on Moses, murderer, all right? And God is still, he's talking to him like a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but it says his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Joshua was a smart guy. Fun fact, Joshua became the successor to Moses. I think a big reason why, because he loved to stay in the presence of God. Let me tell you something, church. Big things happen to people who refuse to leave the tent. Big things happen for the people that refuse to leave the presence of God. You want God to do bigger things in your life, you need to meet up with God more in your life. And the more you meet up with God, the bigger things he's going to be able to do with your life. And that's Joshua's story, and I think it's important for us to kind of circle. Let's go to chapter 40. All right, we're cruising through Exodus right now. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, by the way, chapter 40, the tent is in the camp. So the tent is with the people. Moses could no longer enter the tabernacle because the cloud had settled down over it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, whenever the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out on their journey following it. But if the cloud did not rise, they remained where they were until it lifted. The cloud of the Lord hovered over the tabernacle during the day, and at night, fire glowed inside the cloud so that the whole family of Israel could see it. And this continued throughout all their journey. So this cloud and this fire that just rested over this tent, signifying that the presence of God was in the house. The presence of God was in the house. How'd they know? The cloud and the fire was there, representing the presence of God. This was a special place. Now, what I think is so powerful is that God decided that he was going to give the people of Israel an all access pass to him with conditions. That it had to be a certain way, and the priests had to be very holy. The priests had to do all these sacrifices. I mean, in order for the priests, besides Moses, to come into the presence of God, oh man, it had to be very, very detailed. How many remember the original Raiders of the Lost Ark movie with Indiana Jones? How many remember that? I think it was circa 1982, young Harrison Ford. And the whole idea was the Ark of the Covenant, which was from the Bible, and the lid comes off the Ark, and you know, these guys' faces melt off. Honestly, you look at it now, it's like, oh, that's terrible, terrible graphics, you know, of a movie. But back then, it was like state of the art. It was awesome, right? People's faces melting off, 1982 style. But why am I talking about that? Because I think the movie did a good job depicting the holiness of God, that the holiness can't mix with unholiness. And so the priests would have to go through all of these really daunting tasks in order to make sure that they wouldn't fall over dead. But here's what we have in Jesus. Jesus becomes the high priest on our behalf. Jesus not only becomes the high priest, he also becomes the sacrifice, the unblemished sacrifice. So in order to approach the throne of God, you had to have a high priest and you had to have an unblemished sacrifice. And in Jesus, he is a two for one. He gives us, listen, church, he gives us an all access pass to God anytime, anywhere, any place. He's not limited to a tent. He's not limited to a building. He's not limited to having to do all of these tricks in order for God's presence to be there. How many of you splurged for a concert and you got the VIP passes? Come on, let's admit it, all right? You love that singer. You love that band. You know, you're like, okay, I'm, you know, extra $100, meet and greet before. I mean, you just love this band. You're just going to be there. And it was an amazing experience, I'm sure. But what I want you to do, okay, just to, in your mind right now, think of like a celebrity that, I mean, maybe growing up, this celebrity meant everything to you. It could be maybe an athlete that you grew up and you're like, you just admired this person. Maybe it was a band. Maybe it was an actor in a movie. And you're just like dreaming like, wow, what would it be like to meet this person, this icon of my childhood? What would that actually be like? So to let you in on a little of my childhood, I grew up listening to rock music, and I turned out okay, all right? So I'm just saying that. That has nothing to do with the sermon. But I loved all these rock bands from the 80s. Back when I was in the 80s, they called it heavy metal, but now they call it glam rock because the dudes look like ladies. They had big hair, makeup on. But there was this one band, I remember listening to all these bands, but there was this one band that somebody told me, like, this band, they actually rock, but they love Jesus. I was like, what, rock music plus Jesus? I'm in. And I went crazy over this band called Striper. This is my original vinyl album with their faces on the vinyl from 1987. They had a hit record called To Hell with the Devil. Now, these guys rocked really well. I mean, there was a time on MTV when MTV played music videos. Their songs were like number one on the MTV Music Countdown every day for like weeks and months at a time. And I was obsessed. I'll just admit it. I was obsessed. I had a whole wall in my bedroom that was yellow and black because that was their signature clothing, the Yellow and Black Attack. I mean, I wore out my cassette tapes because I listened to them so much. And that's how much of a fan I was. So what? I just imagine, okay? It was Striper for me, but who is it for you? Maybe you share it with the neighbor right now. Who is that person? You're like, man, if I could just meet that childhood, that would just like, I would fanboy, I would fangirl so hard. I'd be like, my name's Jim. You know, I don't know if you've ever met like an athlete that you like, you know all their stats. You know how many yards they've rushed. You know everything about like their college. You know their coaching. You know the water boy from their college team. That's how much you're into them. And okay, let's say it's time to meet them. Their personal assistant calls you, okay? They call you and say, hey, so-and-so found out you are a big fan, and they happen to be driving through Bakersfield tomorrow. And they just happened to be driving through Bakersfield, and they heard that you were a big fan, and they want to meet with you. They want to meet with you at Starbucks. And here's the catch, though. They're only driving through tomorrow, and they only are going to be there from 5 to 5:30 in the morning. Now, I will tell you, if you're a really obsessed fan, I don't care what you have on the agenda, you are going to make that meeting. I mean, if you have COVID and you are dying with a ventilator on your body, you're just ripping that off. And I, you know, they might not appreciate it, but you're like, I am not missing this opportunity. I mean, if you have to work, you're calling in sick, and you're like, that's a sin God doesn't care about. Like, I'm going, I'm meeting with this person. I only have this one shot. Now, fast forward. Years go by. Okay, so just keep in mind your appointment. Fast forward, I'm leading our Las Vegas campus, all right? So I'm leading the Las Vegas campus. And we have somebody in our church. Her name was Annie, and we were pretty close with Annie. And Annie says, hey, I'm dating this new guy. He's in a rock band. He's in a Christian rock band. I go, what? I go, I know Christian rock bands. I go, what's the name of his band? She goes, Striper. I go, oh! Who? What guy? She goes, Oz Fox. I go, that's a guitarist. You're dating? And she goes, yes. I go, oh, wow. I go, man, I approve this relationship. Not that she was looking for approval, but I was like, wow, this is so good. Well, check this out. They date, and the time comes they're going to get married. Guess who gets invited to the wedding? This guy. I'm at Oz and Annie's wedding, and guess who else is at the wedding? All the guys from Striper. Now, I had been to several Striper concerts, but it's different being in the crowd than just being in a room with all of the guys. And they're just, you know, in their tuxes. They're celebrating their friend getting married. And I'm going up to them saying, hi, Michael, the lead singer. I'm Jim. And, man, I've been listening to your music. It changed my life. I'm a pastor now. And he's like, oh, that's so cool to meet you. I go, can we take a selfie? You know, I was that guy, you know. And so I just, my wife is just in the corner just laughing. She just is thinking this is the funnest moment, right, just watching her husband fanboy. Well, after the wedding was over, you know, Oz ends up moving to Vegas. So him and Annie were living to Vegas. And they started attending our church regularly. And so I'm like sitting there, you know, preaching. And I'm like looking over there and going, Oz Fox is like right there. I'm preaching to Oz. Oz Fox is listening to my sermons. Like, oh, that's so crazy. And then afterwards, he comes up to me and goes, man, Pastor Jim, that was a really good message. And I'm like, man, thank you so much. It's so, you know, awesome to have you a part of our church. I said, hey, if you want to go get some lunch sometime, man, I'd love to take you to lunch. He goes, yeah, let's go. I'm free tomorrow. I go, let's go to lunch. So I'm sitting having lunch with Oz Fox, and we're just talking. And by the way, he is the most humble guy I think I've ever met in my entire life. And just as he loves God. And we're just meeting, hanging out. And he goes, man, we got to do this more often, man. This is so good. And I'm like, how about tomorrow? No, I didn't really. But no, we kept in touch, and we just the relationship just continued to develop, and we became really, really good friends. And I have a picture to just prove it. One day we were twinning together, and the other one we were at another wedding together, just hanging out. And why am I telling you the story so you can say, like, he's such a name dropper? Some of you don't even know who Striper is, so it's not really name dropping, but. But I want to take you to this moment, okay? Because I always thought, like, wow, what would it be like to just have time with this group? One of the guys in the group that really was instrumental in me becoming who I am today. Like, and now I'm not just like having this interaction in a VIP room before the concert. But I have an all-access pass to my friend. And I can talk to him now as my friend, as a friend talks to a friend. Now, how much would that mean to you to have that person in your life? You go meet with them, and you get to meet them, and they say, hey, can we do this again? Man, you really mean a lot to me. I want you to be my friend. You'd be like, well, this is like, is this real life? And you'd have that moment. But I want to just get you to understand this. God, the creator of all things, including you, that put you together, that knitted you together, that created this world, that all the elements of the world, and I don't know how many of you are just like, wow, how does that, like, this world work? Like, the God that did all of this is saying, I want to meet up with you. And Jesus has given you the all-access pass to meet with God anytime, anywhere, and any place. And that's so awesome. But you know what's so sad? We have this pass, and a lot of us don't even use it. Don't even use it. The most important part of developing your faith and unlocking the promises of God for your future is all dependent on your meetups with your Heavenly Father. God wants to meet with you. I mean, I get frustrated sometimes because I know a lot of people come to Bible study. They want to learn more about the Bible. And we do learn about the Bible. And people just, they want to grow in their faith. And they want to just, you know, listen to podcasts and read books and just absorb. And I think books are good. I think podcasts are good. And you know what? I think therapy is good. But meeting up with God is the best. That's the best. Nothing trumps that. And as much as like, I'm up here and I love to teach the word, sometimes I just feel like, you know what? Let's put our Bibles down and let's just throw on some worship music and let's just meet with God right now. Let's just be in his presence. Because I think more can be done in an hour in God's presence than probably a whole semester of reading books. Just being with God. And what's crazy is he's saying to us, I desire that. I want that. Let me give you some scriptures just to clarify that whether or not you feel like you have the pass. You have, as a follower of Jesus, you have the pass. Look at your neighbor right now. Say, I have the pass. I have the pass. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple? You could substitute the word tabernacle there if you want. And that God's spirit dwells in you. That's what you have. But I think a lot of us just aren't aware of it because the enemy of our soul is good at distracting us and keeping us from experiencing that presence of God that we have locked inside of us through the Holy Spirit. There's a book that was written by an 18th century monk named Brother Lawrence called Practicing the Presence of God. It's a classic. It's a small book, so if you don't like reading, the good news is it's a small read. But this old monk will teach you some practices that will keep you engaged throughout your entire day with the presence of God for your life. Now, why is it so important about the presence of God? Because it's the presence of God that helps our life. Let me give you another scripture, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. We don't have to do all of the pomp and circumstance that the Old Testament did to be able to get into the presence of God because of fear that our faces might melt off. No, Paul says, or the author of Hebrews says, come boldly. You've got the pass on. Jesus paid the price for you to enter the room. And so come running to Papa. Come running to Abba Father. You know, come to him. And it says, there you will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. When we need it most. The benefits of being in the presence of God is so powerful for not just your soul, but your entire life, your mind, your heart, the desires coming from your life. All of that can be completely shifted in the presence of Almighty God. I was worshiping at this leadership conference a couple weeks ago, and I don't have vivid like visions in these moments, but I had a vivid vision, and it was a kind of a weird vision where I saw this big Jesus head, and it was like a mechanical Jesus head, and it looked just like Jesus, but like made out of metal, and like mechanically the mouth opens, and just water starts gushing out. And I was like, what? Why am I seeing this? Like, you know, did somebody slip LSD into the communion cup today? Like, what is happening? Like, what am I seeing? And then it was like the Lord was showing me something. So many of us are completely content with being downstream from the water that is coming from Jesus. I call it the goodies of God. And we're content as long as the goodies are flowing down, like, God, this is great. I'm good with the goodies. Like, this is good. When the whole time, this invitation isn't for us to be downstream. the invitation that Jesus has given us is to actually sit at the table and be fully present with the source of the water, so that all the things flowing from the water can actually be accessed by you. You don't have to live downstream anymore when you have the source living in you. Come on, somebody. The source is in you. It'd be like sitting under a dinner table and waiting for crumbs to come off when the whole time the person that's hosting the dinner is saying, hey, get up from under that chair, under that table, and sit at the chair so you can feast with us. And so I could look at you and talk to you as a friend talks to a friend. God wants to talk to you as a friend talks to a friend. But I'm unholy. That's the good news. Is he was willing to meet with Moses, even though Moses was unholy, even though Moses was a murderer in his past. And the Bible's saying, come boldly to the throne of grace. And he's longing to talk to you as a friend talks to a friend. What are the benefits? What is the power behind the presence of God? Let me give you three that I think are so important for you to write down and just to absorb tonight. Number one, write this down. And that is, his presence relieves the pressure. His presence relieves it. Here's what I know about you, because it's true about me. It's true about everybody. We all are under some kind of a pressure. Some of you, I mean, the pressure is next level. You barely made it to church tonight. Like, the pressure is like redlining, right? It's, you're about ready to blow. Everyone's even like by you going, whoa, what's going on with that dude? I could feel the pressure coming off of you. And the good news is, when you get into the presence of God, he depressurizes your life. He does it. He depressurizes you. You could have just all kinds of things going wrong in your life, and you just sit quietly, you just park yourself, put the AirPods on, put the worship music on, and you could actually feel the pressure being minimized as God is magnified in your life. Singing those songs, listening to those songs. And here's what's crazy about pressure. The more pressure you feel, the less peace you experience. And the more that the pressure is depressurized, the more peace rises back up in your life. God doesn't want you living without peace. Some of you are full of anxiety. And I'm not giving you a real simplistic answer to getting rid of anxiety from your life. But I would say, if you are struggling with anxiety tonight and you have had zero time in the presence of God besides tonight, no wonder why you're full of anxiety. And I'm not saying being in the presence of God is going to cancel the anxiety, but I will tell you, when you are in the presence of God, a lot of that pressure that is making you feel so anxious is going to deflate. It's going to be depressurized, and the presence of God is going to actually elevate the peace of God in your mind and in your heart. Who am I speaking to tonight? I feel it. I feel it. If that's you tonight, look at your neighbor and say, I need to be depressurized tonight. I need it. I need to be depressurized. Here, let's look at the second one, because I'm going to end differently. I got to wrap this up quickly. And that is, his presence removes the discouragement. So it relieves the pressure, but it also removes the discouragement. And that's also a truth about all of us, right? We all can get discouraged. Sometimes we have circumstances that validate that we should be discouraged. Maybe even tonight, maybe somebody lost a job. Maybe somebody's going through a next level marriage issue. Maybe you're just, you know, bummed out because maybe you found out you have to do some more classes, you're not graduating. I don't know. But discouragement comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes and colors. But I also know that sometimes discouragement can settle in without any reason at all. Who am I speaking to tonight? You don't even need circumstances to be bad to get discouraged. You can go to bed going, man, that was the best day of my life. And you wake up the next morning going, my life sucks. I just hate my life. I'm not getting out of bed today. I've been there. That's why I'm saying it. It can hit all of us. But here, when I've been in these moments of dark discouragement, I just roll out of bed. I get on my face. And I just start calling out to God. I just start calling his name, Jesus, 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 you are God. You are my King. You are over everything in my life. And I need you, Lord, and I want to be with you. And I know you want to be with me. Thank you for calling me your child. Thank you for giving me the help in time of need. God, thank you for being close to the brokenhearted. God, I love you and I worship you. In that moment, when you're just calling out to God, the discouragement just starts lifting off of you. And you know what happens? God deposits in you a new attitude. And you can actually walk into the presence of God discouraged and walk out completely full of joy. David did it all the time. Let me give you a psalm. I'm speaking to somebody. I don't know. I feel it's back here in this section right here. I don't know. Somebody back there. You need some joy tonight. And I'm telling you, this is the pathway to find joy. All right? Listen to me. Psalm 16:11. Your presence fills me with joy and brings me pleasure forever. David was one that got discouraged. And you know what he did? He went out into the fields and he just started praising God. And in that moment, God's presence would fill him up. And you're like, I'm good. I got this. Because God's got me. There is joy waiting for you in the presence of God. And not just regular joy, overflowing joy. Joy that splashes out on other people that could use a little bit more joy in their life. So if you want more joy, I want to tell you, joy is not an emotion you feel. It's an attitude you choose. And it's so much easier to choose joy when you are full of the presence of God in your life. It's so much easier. Look at your neighbor right now and say, choose joy. Choose joy. Listen to what Jesus said in John 15. I have loved you even as the Father has loved you. Remain in me. So he's saying, connect with me. Stay continually connected with me. When you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. The more you're connected with Jesus, listen to this, lean into this. The more you're connected with Jesus, the more joy you're going to experience with your attitude. And you don't need a pastor to tell you when you have a bad attitude. You know when you have it. And unfortunately, everybody in your house knows it too. Even the dog. Even the dog knows when you have a bad attitude. You're yelling at the dog. The dog didn't do anything. The dog just loves you. Dog didn't do anything to you. It's time for a new attitude. And it's found in the presence of God. Number three, I gotta land this. His presence brings the fire. How many need more fire in your life? How many need more fire? The fire of God. It's a consuming fire. It's a contagious fire. In Acts chapter 2, they had an experience where the fire of God fell on them. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, praying, by the way, in the presence of God. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Fire fell from heaven in one instant and turned these guys that were afraid, that were so intimidated by the world, and they ran out of the house and changed the world for Jesus. What was the difference maker? The fire of God that Jesus brought to each of their lives. Let me tell you something, church. The fire of God is not intimidated by anything in this world. And when you are filled with this fire of God, nothing in this world is going to intimidate you anymore. You're not going to be intimidated. Because you can't intimidate the fire of God. And then when you get in the fire, the fire, Isaiah says he got in the presence of God and he started getting convicted about his lips. He says, oh, I'm a man of unclean lips. I don't know if Isaiah the prophet had a cussing problem. I don't know if he just talked bad about people. But he got into the presence of God and just immediately he started thinking about all the things in his life that were wrong. Why? Because of the presence of God was purity. And everything that was impure in his life started bubbling up to the surface. Why does God reveal our sin to us? So he can heal us from our sin. So he could burn it off of our life. And that's what he did with Isaiah. And that's what he wants to do with you. See, some of you, I mean, books are great. I podcasts are great. I mean, groups like Teen Challenge are great. But the ultimate thing that is going to change you and take all of the old ways off of you is sitting in the fire of God's Holy Spirit, which is pure and it's holy and it's powerful, and it will melt that junk right off your soul. Fire is contagious, and I just end with this because I just want to spend some time in the presence of God. I'll have the worship team come out, because why talk about meeting up with God and you don't make room for us to meet with God? And the most effective way for you to meet up with God, listen, church, is by worshiping through music. Some of you, it's not just singing along. Some of you, maybe it's just burying your face up here at this altar, which, you know, we call this the altar because the altar is where people would come and they would sacrifice their things so that they could be closer with God. And maybe some of you tonight in this closeness with God saying, I want to meet up with you. Maybe you need to come up here because you're saying, hey, I'm laying this thing on the altar. I'm laying myself on the altar. I want the all-consuming, contagious fire to take over my life, to have me as the sacrifice. It's so good, church. You want the pressure gone? You want the discouragement gone? You want the fire to come? Then learn to be still and enjoy your all-access pass to the almighty, never-ending, all-powerful creator of the universe who loves you, who has empowered you, and who wants to change your life and take you to his promises for your life. Father, as we close in this message, God, we worship you. Lord, just as the old tabernacle days, Lord, open up the heaven over this auditorium and just pour your presence on your people. Your fire is in us, God. Bring that fire up, God. Let that fire grow in this moment where your just presence is just soaking our souls. If you're not right with Jesus tonight, then your journey with Jesus starts with you saying, I'm going to follow him. And maybe right now tonight you're saying, Jesus, that's what I want for my, I'm tired of living according to me. I want to live according to you, Jesus, tonight. I want to follow you. And you just pray this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I follow you tonight. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Forgive me of my sin. I want what you have for my life. I'm not going to be under the table anymore. I'm going to be sitting, looking at you, talking to you as a friend talks to a friend, enjoying the relationship that you want to have with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, let's get into the presence of God. Let's worship. If you want to stand to your feet, get to your feet. You want to come to the altar, come to the altar. You want to kneel down, kneel down. But let's worship and let's get into the presence of God. Father, your presence is so sweet, it's so kind, it's so full of grace. And Father, I just feel that stuff is just being burned off of people. My friend, right there, something tonight has just burned off of your life that has been stuck in your life for a long time. I just feel it. Lord, your presence, there's nothing greater, there's nothing more powerful, God. And we seek you tonight, God, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And God, we want more of you. We want more of you, oh God. Lord, we search you with all of our heart, God. And we pray that you would search us with all of your heart, God. And if there be any wicked way in us, Lord, let it rise to the surface so that, God, you can purge it out of our life. Lord, purge the drug addiction out of our life in Jesus' name. Purge the porn out of our life in Jesus' name. Purge the stuff that is keeping us from receiving and achieving the promises that you have for our future. Oh, God, right now, Lord, there's pressure. that is being depressurized, God, because, Lord, your peace is so much greater in your presence. And the pressure is being replaced by peace. Receive it tonight, church. Receive it. Peace. 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 In Jesus' name, anxiety be gone. Anxiety be gone. In Jesus' name, anxiety be gone. You are not welcome anymore in the presence of Almighty God, who says and declares to us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Oh God, we want more peace and we want less anxiety, and God, your presence makes room for your peace. And Lord, my last prayer, God, tonight, let the discouragement leave this place. I pray in Jesus' name that the spirit of suicide that is in this room would be completely ripped out of the people that it's impacting, and the thoughts that are dominating their thoughts, saying this world would be better off without me. We come against that in the name of Jesus, in the presence of Almighty God. Those thoughts cannot stand. I pray, God, that you would replace the discouragement with your fullness of joy in this moment of your presence, oh God, that let your joy be made complete in each and every discouraged person that's in this place, God. May they leave this place with a smile, not just on their face, but more importantly, a smile on their heart. Because, Lord, they've been with you, Almighty God, Creator of all things. We love you. We love you, God. We magnify you, God. There's no place we would rather be than in your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give God a shout of praise tonight? Can we give him a shout? You can do better. Come on. I've heard you cheer on the Dodgers. Give God a shout of praise. Give us some praise, church. We love you guys. The prayer team is up front. Why don't you high five some people sitting around you or standing around you? We love you guys. And prayer is available. And hey, we'll see you next month. Or hopefully you'll be back in this place on Sunday morning. We love you guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.